Good morning. We'd like to look at some verses, and I'd like to look at Psalms, the second chapter this morning. And the first verse, he says, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." Now I want to recognize that they mentioned there's a verse, and I didn't look that up, but there's a verse that talks about Jesus, the Messiah, sitting on David's throne. And He's of the lineage of David, and it's like David is a type of Christ. There are very strong parallels between the life of David and the life of Christ. And I want to look at some of these scriptures here. I want to turn to 2 Samuel. We'll probably return here, so if you want to hold this place also. But 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter. I want to do a little bit of reading here. David, Saul's house had decreased, and Saul had passed, and the elders of Israel, he was already ruling from the tribe of Judah, but there was a separation. There was a difference between Judah and Israel. But the elders of Israel came to David to make him king. They remembered that it was told that David didn't choose to be king. He was selected of God to be king. God chose him. It wasn't just something that he thought he would do, but it was God, and they recognized that. They came to that conclusion, and so they came to David to make him king. And in the verse 6, 2 Samuel 5, verse 6, it says, "And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither." Now this verse has been very difficult to explain, but what Adam Clark mentions in this scripture is that Jerusalem was so well fortified, it was so well secure, he calls it a stronghold. In verse 7, the stronghold of Zion, that it was kind of a ridicule that you can't even take the blind or the lame. In other words, you're not even going to get them. You know, they can't see and they can't fight. And so that's kind of, I believe, the meaning behind that. It was kind of a ridicule. But in verse 7, and at the end there, it says, thinking David cannot come in hither. Verse 7 says, nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. He took the stronghold of Zion from the Jebusites. And David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons, and they built David an house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. I thought this was very interesting. David, after he took Zion, he took the city of Jerusalem, it became his stronghold. And it says that he perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel. And he mentions, I want to read on now a little bit further. I want to go down to verse 17. It says, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came up and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And then it happened again that the Philistines, but I want to read us a note. It says from Adam Clark, it said, Josephus records, now Josephus is a Jewish historian, records that all Syria, Phoenicia, and other circumjacent warlike people united their armies to those of the Philistines in order to destroy David before he strengthened himself in his kingdom. So they recognized that they had anointed David to be king, and then here's all this host came against them. And that's what it's saying in Psalms 2. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now the Septuagint says, instead of anointed, it actually says Christ. It says Christ. And they were saying, let us break their bands. This is what the enemy was saying. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now I want to notice another text of scripture here in, I believe it's in Acts 13 and 33. The same thing was fulfilled in Christ. In some ways, it kind of seems, you know, when it speaks about Christ sitting on David's throne, it you can see in some ways how the Jews were looking for an earthly kingdom. But I want to notice the words here of Paul in Acts 13 and 33. He's preaching there at Antioch, and I want to get, let's read verse 26. It says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten me. See, when David perceived that he became king, God brought that about. God brought that day and that time for David to be king. And Paul is applying it to Christ, because of the resurrection, because he raised him from the dead, he's applying. See, David gained the victory over his enemies. He became king. And Jesus, when he was resurrected from the dead, he overcame. That was the crowning portion that he had conquered. We have another scripture in the book of Colossians that mentions, let's see if I can find it. Colossians, let's see here. It talks about in verse 14, Colossians 2 and 14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Holiness overcame evil. Righteousness overcame evil because Jesus, it looked like they were, there's another scripture, I hope this is not too scattered for you this morning, but there's another scripture, Jesus was talking about the kingdom, and he mentioned, he said, the citizens, you know, he gave the talents to his servants, but that said the citizens hated him, And they said, we will not have this man rule over him. And we know the biggest majority of people living in Israel at that time did not accept him as the Messiah, as the Christ. At first, the numbers grew later, but the Jews as a whole didn't really accept Jesus as the Son of God, a Christ. And that scripture in Luke says, we will not have this man to rule over this. And that's the same that they said back there against David. He said, we will break their bonds asunder. We don't want this man having control and rule over him. But it said the Lord laughed at them. The Lord in the heavens laughed at them because he would have them in derision. And he said, this day have I begotten thee. And that's what Paul is applying to the resurrection. This day have I begotten thee. In other words, he overcame. He was more powerful. He conquered sin and death. He conquered the powers that held. And he let, one of the scripture talks about, he led captivity captive. And it said he made a show of them openly. Now, even though it wasn't a literal throne, Jesus is a king today. He rules. He is a king. And I believe one place he said, they asked him, are you a king? He said, for this cause came I into the world. For this, to this end was I born, to be a king and to reign as a king. And Pilate asked him, are you a king? And I've always, Adam Clark, you know, Jesus just says, thou sayest it. And I've always had trouble. What was Jesus really intention? Adam Clark says that that's an affirmation of, yes, I am a king. But he wasn't treated like a king. But he is King of Kings, and he triumphed and he overcame. Now I want us to get, I want another comment. To read another comment, it says, let us break their bands. Let us, and the Septuagint says, let us break through their bonds and cast away their yoke from us. They didn't want David to put a yoke upon them in the Old Testament. The New Testament says, we will not have this man to rule over him. But ironically, Jesus said unto them, told them, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. They didn't really know what they were throwing off when they threw off the script, the word of God, when they despised and they wanted him crucified, they wanted him gone. They didn't, and he was using them to fulfill his plan and his purpose. That's amazing to me. In their hatred, in their vehemence, in their fight against Christ and what he stood for and what he came to bring, they were furthering the cause of God. And they never knew it. They didn't realize it. It's the same thing that happened to Joseph. You know, the Joseph, his brothers hated him. They despised him. They wanted to get rid of him. And they fulfilled God's plan. They helped fulfill God's plan for Joseph, and the same thing happened in Christ. And that's why the Lord said he'll laugh. He'll have them in derision. The Lord is so much, so far above our thoughts and our ways and our ideas. He's so much above the human way and the human level of thinking. And I want to read another comment now that, with that scripture, Adam Clark quotes this about, let us break through their bonds and cast away their yoke from us. It says, these are the words of the Confederate heathen powers. We may see the ground of opposition, namely the unwillingness of rebellious nature to submit to the obligations of divine law. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? You know, the same thing is happening in our world today. The heathen are raging. And this is the battleground. People do not want to submit to divine law. Namely, the unwillingness of rebellious nature to submit to the obligations of divine law, which cross the interest and lay a restraint on the desires of men. That's what the gospel does. It's a good gospel, though. But there are obligations, there's laws, there's precepts. Corrupt affections are the most inveterate enemies of Christ. And their language is, we will not have this man reign over us. Doctrines would be readily believed if they involved in them no precepts, and the church may be tolerated in the world if she will only give up her discipline. So there we see the battle, we see the battleground going on today. But he says, back in Psalms, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. He did it under David in the Old Testament. He conquered the Philistines and all those other kings that were with them that came against him. But he also did it in the New Testament at the destruction of Jerusalem. 70 AD, approximately within 40 years of Christ's death, Jerusalem was destroyed. And it says, he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me, and this is David speaking, the Lord spoke to David and said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And David perceived that God had made him king. This was all the Lord's doing, and like the verse said, it's marvelous in our minds, it's marvelous in our sight how God has used has put his plan in place, and although people fought against it, and there's a long history in our world today of people that have tried to stamp out Christianity, they've tried to stamp out the scriptures, they've tried to murder and kill, but it's still here today. It's still here. And he says, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And he did that for David. He did that when David conquered. David is actually probably the first world empire. David conquered. There was no one that was able to stand before the kingdom of God in David's time. But Jesus also in his kingdom has conquered, not on an earthly throne. He made it clear. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. But there in the Romans, it talks about the gospel going out into all the world as a witness. And the Lord has people all over this world today that are here, scattered here and there in little places that worship him. He has a kingdom that rules, that will rule over all. He said, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And it's amazing how the pictures of the early morning church and Revelations on the white horse that went forth to conquer and to conquer, though at the peril of their life, many of them lost their lives. Even Daniel speaks of that. Daniel prophesies of that. It talks about the holy people that had understanding. It said, though they be persecuted with fire, with sword, with spoil, that they would do exploits and they would conquer. And I believe that's referring to the early morning church. And the Lord, the gospel spread, and it's given people an opportunity to be saved and people to recognize that Jesus. And this is just more scriptures that are fulfilled that show us the fulfillment is found in Christ, that He fulfilled these things. And He says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. He said, kiss the Son. Now the Septuagint says, instead of kiss the Son, it says accept correction. Accept correction. Now both of them mean the same thing. To kiss the Son is to honor, to reverence. And I believe accepting correction is the same thing. It's honoring, it's reverence. He said, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in Him. Now I want to get one more scripture in the book of Revelations, the second chapter and the 26th verse. Revelations, the second chapter. And the 26th verse, let's read verse 25. He's talking about to the congregation of Thyatira. In verse 25, he says, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now Jesus is promising to those that overcome, he said, it keepeth my works unto the end. To him will I give power over the nations. He shall, and this is quoted from the scripture we've been reading in Psalms. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. You know, there's coming a time when evil is going to fail. There's coming a time when all evil and darkness is going to be put down. It's going to fail. But to me, I take this as a promise. Jesus said, He's given us the promise as it was given to Him. He said, even as I have received of my Father. That's what in Psalm 2, that's what He said. Thou art a king. Today, this day, if I begotten thee. And it's not by our intellect, it's not by our own strength, it's not by our own volition, but it's because God has chosen us. It's because God has redeemed us. And we've entered into what He has for us. And it's a place of victory for us in our hearts and our lives that we can overcome by the grace of God. Another scripture talks about we can reign as kings and priests on the earth. And I just thank the Lord today for Him being a king. He's a king. He's the head of the church. He's ruler over all of God's people. I'm so thankful He didn't try to or attempt to sit on an earthly throne. That wouldn't have done us much good in this generation. But He ascended up on high. He's in the throne room. He's above all. He's over all. And He said, this day thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee to be king. And when Jesus came out of the grave, I believe that's what Paul was referring to. This day He arose from the grave. This day have I begotten thee and set him as a king. I thank the Lord for the promises of God. I thank the Lord that we can overcome. We live in a time of great battle, but we can still be victorious. If we'll be walk humbly with God and seek Him, He'll help us to be victorious and overcome. And I thank the Lord for the plan today. There is no... sometimes salesmen have their pitches. They talk about products and they can... what all they can do and how wonderful they are, and they don't compare to the plan that God has made and that God has put in place. Lord, help us today to avail ourselves of what God has given us and to recognize that we can reign as kings and priests now in this world, in this dark and wicked world today. We can reign, and we thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for these scriptures.